Wake up, everyone. It's time for a call to action. Welcome to Call to Action Today, where there are no sacred cows, with your host, Steve Noble, just an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and he's calling you out every week to live the Christian life in your home, your work, and even in politics. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH, or check him out online at c2atoday.org. And now, with some much-needed cough medicine for the church, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, welcome back to Call to Action Radio. This is Steve Noble, live from Southern California here in Riverside, which is kind of a bedroom community outside of L.A. It is the home and actually the birthplace as well of Harvest Christian Fellowship, the Harvest Crusades, Pastor Greg Laurie, and all of those things that most of you are familiar with, Pastor Greg and Harvest, and New Beginning is his radio show. And he's been the pastor, senior pastor here. The church is 43 years old. And just same senior pastor the whole time, and it's just been an absolute movement of God and a pleasure to be involved with them. So I'm out here for a couple of days. We're doing some meetings about Harvest America, plus they're having a big staff retreat kind of thing going on, and I'm kind of a member of the staff here as well. It's one of the few many different hats that I wear, but one of the greatest things that I get to do, I just feel completely spoiled. Ephesians 3:20, you know, more than I could ask or imagine that I get to spend a fair amount of my time working with the Harvest team and the Harvest Crusades and Harvest America, which will be on Sunday, June 10th next year, live from AT&T Stadium. I was in Dallas last week, and it's an excellent partnership now with the Southern Baptist Convention as well, and churches all around the country. And so super excited that I get to be a part of it and what God's doing here. And so we'll just see. We'll see what the Lord is going to continue to do. But today, as I turn the corner from that, oh, and one other thing, speaking of Harvest, Thursday evening, just a couple nights from now, we'll have Steve McQueen, American Icon. That's the documentary that Greg put together with John and Andy Irwin, the Irwin brothers, who did Mom's Night Out and Woodlawn most recently and October Baby, and then coming out in the spring, they've done I Can Only Imagine, which is the true story behind the song, the incredibly famous and loved song by Mercy Me. I Can Only Imagine. It's an amazing story behind that because Bart Millard, the lead singer of Mercy Me, his dad was an absolute monster. And once he got cancer, I think it was pancreatic cancer, Jesus absolutely transformed the guy's life. He went from a monster to becoming Bart's best friend. And that's coming out in the spring. But this Thursday, Steve McQueen, American Icon, which we've been talking about and excited. We have an outreach, a men's outreach in Raleigh. We bought out a theater, so we'll have 288 seats. They're all full for this Thursday night when you see the story of this American icon who became a born-again Christian. Before he died and before, actually, he got cancer, Steve McQueen became a born-again Christian. It's an amazing story. And then Greg Laurie, it's a documentary. So Greg Laurie's kind of involved in all these other people that were a part of that story. It's an awesome movie. It's a great story of salvation. It's a great testimony and a witness. And Pastor Greg presents the gospel right there in the movie theater at the end of the movie with an opportunity to pray to receive Christ and a phone number to get some follow-up materials, the Start Bible, things like that. Harvest has incredible evangelistic and discipleship resources. And so that's coming around the country. SteveMcQueenMovie.com. There's over 800 theaters nationwide. And right now they're on track to be the biggest selling faith-based Fathom event, one-night movie, in the history of Fathom events. So super excited about what God is doing there. Today, let's turn the corner. And a buddy of mine that has been on last year at about the same time on a subject that I think a lot of us go, oh, yeah, well, that's important, and that's nice, and we all need to do that, the subject of prayer. But Dr. Chris Schofield has a heart for prayer. He's part of the prayer efforts and leadership in the Southern Baptist Convention in the state of North Carolina, where I'm from normally. And Chris is going to take us through something going on in October. Return to me, and I will return to you. That's Zechariah 1:3, and it's a whole prayer focus for the month of October, which obviously is just starting in the next couple of days. And so let's welcome Chris Schofield back to the show. Chris, how are you, man?
I'm doing fine. How are you doing, Steve?
I'm doing well, kind of running hard, and we have some technical challenges, but I'm out here in Southern California. And there, where are you? Are you in beautiful North Carolina right now?
I'm in your hometown, Wake Forest, North Carolina.
And so kind of take us down this road, Chris, in terms of this prayer focus. And let's start specifically with you. I mean, this is in essence, who you are really as a believer. God's given you such a burden for prayer. But tell us about your own experience with becoming a prayer leader and a prayer warrior, and why prayer is such a central part of your ministry.
Well, you know, Steve, I was a pastor. I pastored a couple of churches, and in those pastorates, God just gripped my heart with the deep need that we had for revival and spiritual awakening. The Lord used Dr. Lewis Drummond, who has gone on to be with the Lord now, in a little book that he wrote, The Awakening That Must Come, to just stir my heart. So I began to encourage pastors to get together and pray, and that was my journey also. We prayed in the different areas where I pastored and sought the Lord on behalf of the spiritual famine in the land.
And then how did you end up like in a leadership position, Chris, with the Southern Baptist Convention in North Carolina? How did God kind of weave that into your daily activities in terms of being a prayer leader?
Well, as a pastor, I felt sensed God's call to go back to school, to obey God's call to work on my doctoral work, PhD work, and so I did. And it was during that time that the Lord opened the door for me to serve our denomination at the North American Mission Board. So I was there about 7 years as manager of the Office of Prayer for Evangelization there, and developed that office. And as a part of our strategy, we were working with our state conventions to do the same kind of thing, to develop offices of prayer, emphases on prayer. And Milton Hollifield at that time approached me about coming to North Carolina. So I, of course, was a North Carolina boy and pastored in North Carolina. So God led me in that direction, and I've been here for 13 years now in this position.
Yeah, and we're so thankful for you, Chris, and not just, you know, for me as a Southern Baptist that lives in North Carolina as well, but your leadership when you've been on the show before, and we certainly appreciate it. So take us through what kind of led to this prayer emphasis in October, and last year, you know, as a different passage of Scripture. This year, return to me, and I will return to you, Zechariah 1:3. And how did you kind of arrive at that? What's the process to get to that focus? And then when we hit the break, we'll come back and dive into it a little more after that.
Well, you know, Steve, the thing that started was we have a committee that plans our annual meeting, and through that committee...
Hey, you know what, Chris, I've got a little bit of a delay on my end over here. I'm going to put you on hold. We're going to pick it up there with Chris Schofield when we come back, talking about prayer and a prayer focus that we all need to look at and we all need to participate in for October. This is Steve Noble on Call to Action Radio. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio. Great to be with you today live from the campus of Harvest Christian Fellowship with Pastor Greg Laurie, the Harvest Crusades, Harvest America, as well as this Thursday, Steve McQueen, American Icon. Go to stevemcqueenmovie.com. There's 800 theaters around the country. It's on track to, looks like we might get to 100,000 tickets for this thing on Thursday, which would set a new record for a faith-based film in terms of doing a one-night Fathom event. So God's really continuing to bless Harvest and their efforts, evangelistic efforts. So make sure you check that out, stevemcqueenmovie.com. And if some of you listening to me today back in Raleigh are going to be at our special screening on Thursday night, which was a men's outreach, so it's men only. I know how insensitive of us to do that, but that's the deal. It is what it is. So hopefully I'll get to see many of you there on Thursday night. We're talking to Chris Schofield, who's a part of the Southern Baptist Convention in North Carolina, and talking about something that we all need to take very seriously about the role of prayer in our lives, and specifically a prayer emphasis for the month of October. Return to me, and I will return to you. And Chris Schofield has written, as always, just a beautiful prayer devotional guide to take you through the month, and just excited to have him on again, and his heart for the Lord and his heart for prayer. Again, Chris, thanks for being with us again today.
Thank you, Steve.
You're very welcome. Okay, so let me ask you this. Before we hit the break, and I'm struggling through a couple of technical things on my side, so I'm trying not to make that your problem. But take us how you kind of arrived at this passage of Scripture when we're in the book of Zechariah 1:3, and then we'll get into the context of it and how you see it applying to where we're at as Americans and Christians this year.
Well, you know, Steve, there's a committee. We have a committee that plans our annual meeting each year. And for the last 6 years, we've done this emphasis in preparing for that on praying toward revival and spiritual awakening. With the spiritual famine that's in the land, both in the church and in the culture at large, we know that our only hope is the Lord. So this committee puts together the scripture verse, and they choose that, and it's centered around this element of seeking the Lord for revival and spiritual awakening and returning to Him in godliness and holiness, because that's at the heart of true revival in the life of every believer.
Yeah, and obviously, I mean, we've got that problem, and not just in the culture, but in the American church at large, don't we?
Oh, yes. The American church is in trouble. And oftentimes we don't like to admit that as Christians or even as denominations, but we're in trouble. We're losing this culture. And when I say culture, I mean people. We're losing people to paganism. Lostness is increasing exponentially, and the church seems very impotent. In those seasons, in those times, Steve, I think we need to look inward and realize that it might be that God is trying to squeeze us, to discipline us, to bring us to realize our desperate need for Him and to return right to Him in godliness and holiness. We're people that He cannot bless because we have departed from Him.
Yeah, and that's the reality of it. And I think a lot of people, listen, Chris, I mean, you know this. I don't know that everybody knows this, but I'm sure you're aware. You've still got, in most polling, you'll get about 76% of Americans will self-identify as Christians. And you go, okay, oh, that's interesting. Really? That's awesome. I'm a Christian too. So I like to unpack that question. Why do you consider yourself to be a Christian? And most people, Chris, you know this, most people don't give you a gospel answer. They give you kind of a cultural Christianity. I believe in God. Jesus is just all right with me. I dig Christmas and Easter. Are you going to heaven? Well, I hope so, or I think so, or probably, or maybe. People just don't know the gospel. And I think that the church in America, although we measure about 360,000 quote-unquote churches in America, listen, the reality is I think it's unfortunately and sadly far south of 15% of Americans are actually born-again Christians. So I think oftentimes we think that the church in America might be in a little bit better shape than it actually is in terms of how big it is.
Well, that's true as far as how big it is, but also its spiritual health.
Yeah.
Because, you know, where a church is healthy, it's going to impact communities. It's going to impact the people around it. And right now, that's not really happening. There may be churches that are baptizing thousands, but you know it as well as I do. Communities are not really changing. The culture is not changing. We're not impacting it with the gospel. And that is God's work through the power of His Holy Spirit. And I believe that we are tremendously under the judgment of God. He's squeezing us and disciplining us and seeking to bring us back to Him as His people. And, wow, that's what this Return to Me devotional is all about. It's a study of Zechariah 1:1-6 really represents the different sections. And people are just challenged to return to the Lord. And through different passages of Scripture and different themes, it's a call to return to the Lord in this day and this hour.
Yeah, well, I mean, in that context, in Zechariah, and I'm looking at the awesome prayer book that you guys put together, just kind of unpacking this in section one, it says, during a season of judgment and spiritual famine, God's people desperately need to hear from Him, gain His perspective, seek Him with all their hearts, and then respond to Him accordingly. Today, will God's messengers proclaim His message in a timely fashion? Will God's people listen to His message? And will God's people respond appropriately by seeking Him with all their hearts? Only time will tell. And that brings us really to what I'd like to focus on for the rest of the show, Chris, is just it's the role of prayer in our lives and how using this PrayFor30Days.org is the website, friends, and you can get the PDF yourself, PrayFor30Days.org. Let's just go into the centrality of prayer in our lives and the need for us to really be people that pray without ceasing.
Well, you know, of course, the Scripture says that. Paul says that. Jesus said, abide in the true vine. And the call is for us to walk with Him in continuous life of prayer that's focused on Him. It is God-centered, seeking him with all of our hearts and our minds and our souls. He tells us if we seek him with all of our hearts, he will be found. And that's a great thing when the people of God find him as they seek him with all of their heart. You know, the context of this Zechariah text is the post-exilic community returns, and devastation is all around them. But God is still calling them, as he did the generation before, to return to him in relationship, because that's what it's all about. You know, prayer is about relationship, not about an activity that we do, not just something that we're involved in on a Wednesday night or a midweek prayer service or even on Sunday. It is a relationship through Jesus Christ our Lord. And we need to focus our praying on him. And right now, I believe with all my heart that God's call to his people is to focus our praying on returning to him in revival, that he might bless his church, use his church as an instrument of spiritual awakening in our culture, that lostness might be impacted.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, I was talking about the whole NFL thing yesterday, and we're coming up on another break here, Chris, but I was talking about the whole NFL thing yesterday, or politics or pop culture, whatever it is. I mean, it's amazing what will grab the attention and raise the temperature of your average Christian in America, and conservative Christians at that, who know the gospel, who know the Lord. And we get so bent out of shape and just go ballistic about things like NFL players, a bunch of millionaires taking a knee during the national anthem. Do we ever get that ballistic about prayer? Do we ever get that ballistic about the lost? Do we ever get that bent out of shape about the state of the nation? If we did, we would be people of prayer. Sadly, for most of us, we aren't. We're going to keep talking to Chris Schofield about this great resource for October when we come back.
Well, I got a message. I got a song. Can I get a witness? Tell me what's going on. Show the people.
Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio. I'm just rocking out here in the boardroom of Harvest Christian Fellowship. That's Pastor Greg Laurie's church here in Riverside, California. It's beautiful outside today, and it's just so wild being out. Have you ever been to Southern California? It's because I'm a Raleigh, North Carolina guy now. We've been there for 20 years. That's the longest I've lived anywhere. And, you know, we have hills, and we have mountains, and we have a lot of green things called trees. All right, now they have some trees here, and they have some palm trees, but when you look up on the mountains, I'm in Riverside, which is kind of a bedroom community of L.A. You look all around, there's mountains and stuff all over the place, which is really cool, but they're largely brown. There's some green here and there, and I've been told during parts of the year that it gets more green, but I have yet to see that personally. But it's really cool, and it's a beautiful campus, Harvest Christian Fellowship, and, of course, Pastor Greg Laurie and his team, and the Harvest Crusades and Harvest America. So I work with those guys on a regular basis and have for years. So that's why I'm out here for a couple of days. I'll be on the road tomorrow flying back, God willing, with a safe arrival back in Raleigh. So my buddy Stu Epperson Jr., who happens to own the Truth Radio Network, which many of you are listening to the show on the Truth Radio Network, he's going to sit in for me. He did his own daily talk radio show, Truth Talk Live, for about 10 or 11 years. So he knows what he's doing. He's hyper. He loves the Lord. He knows the scripture backwards and forwards. And so he's going to fill in for me tomorrow. Then I'll be live back on Thursday and Friday and into next week. So that's why I'm out here. But today, talking about, you know, one of the things that I think, you know, there's some Christianity 101 things that most of us go, oh, yeah, we're supposed to share the gospel. Oh, absolutely. The Great Commission. Oh, what a privilege. We get to do it. We don't have to do it. You know, there's all that kind of Christian colloquialism and evangelical life and Christianese. And another one of those things is prayer. Oh, yes, people of prayer, and we all struggle with our prayer lives, I think. But oftentimes, you know, we get, and I finished the last segment. We're going to talk to Chris Schofield here in a minute. Again, he's with the Southern Baptist Convention in North Carolina, and they have a great prayer focus in October, a great prayer guide, which I put up on my Facebook. If you're watching Facebook Live today, facebook.com/C2A radio, you can get it there. Or just go to prayfor30days.org. Pray for 30 days. That's 30. Prayfor30days.org, and you can get that too. But this call to prayer, which I mentioned it earlier, we get all bent out of shape about a bunch of millionaire football players taking a knee during the national anthem, and I completely understand that. But how much of a burden do we have for prayer and praying for our nation and praying for the church and praying for the lost? I go to the Summit Church in Raleigh, North Carolina, J.D. Greer, who I happen to think is one of the best preachers in America. But a couple years ago, he really messed me up one Sunday. He's good at that. And he said, hey, listen, if God answered all of your prayers for the past 7 days, every single one of them, he said yes to all your prayers in the last 7 days, how many people would be added to the kingdom of God? And I stopped there. I stopped in that moment on that Sunday, and I thought, oh, my goodness, I don't know that anybody would be added to the kingdom of God from my prayer life in the last 7 days. That completely blew me apart at the time, and I needed to hear that, and that's why we're happy that Chris is with us to help us go through this conversation talking about prayer and having this opportunity in the month of October to really drill down and focus in on it. Zechariah, the passage for the this year's prayer emphasis out of Zechariah 1:3, return to me, and I will return to you. So Chris, what's our goal here in October, and how do we use this, and what do we kind of have a prayer emphasis here as we go through it? We can complain about the country, we can complain about the church at large, but I think oftentimes we forget to look at the guy or the gal in the mirror.
You know, that's exactly right, Steve, and that's part of the focus of this guide. It focuses on our personal life of prayer as we allow the Lord to search our hearts individually and personally for revival and also corporately. You know, it's interesting that when you look at this great text, that the scripture does say, return to me and I will return to you, saith the Lord of hosts. You know, the mighty warrior God, he is able to bring victory or defeat, and that's in his hand. And as his people, when we depart from him in sin and in selfishness and self-centeredness, which I believe that is one of the biggest things that's plaguing the church in America, then he has to squeeze us to bring us back to himself, to draw us back. And I believe that he's doing that not only personally, but also corporately as a church in America. So this passage of scripture and this emphasis is a call to individual believers, but also to churches to seek the Lord. To seek him in repentance and returning to him in godliness and in holiness, and to seek him for spiritual awakening, that he might awaken the hearts of lostness, of lost people, and impact the lostness that's around.
Yeah, and of course, those are things that should burden all of our hearts and all of our spirits. And Chris, I mean, I've been looking through the prayer guide, and friends, you can get yours. Go to prayfor30days.org, and we're going to talk about what's actually there each day, because it's a really, really well done prayer guide, very focused, some prayer prompts and some action you take, as well as a little devotional. But is this a case, Chris, where our prayer lives, whether we feel like it, whether we feel all emotional about it, or we feel like we're all spirit filled, is this something like reading our Bible? We should just do it no matter how we feel about it.
Well, of course we should. We should be obedient to God's call to pray without ceasing, to seek him and to commune with him in prayer. It is dialogue, you know. It is the time that we speak with him. And most of the time in our life of prayer, and I've discovered that in my own life, that I want to do all the talking, but, you know, prayer is a two-way street. We need to listen to the Lord. In fact, the more that I pray, the more I realize my desperate need to hear from God. And I believe that's one of the things that is, wow, that we're facing in life of the church. We're so busy. We're so verbal. We're not listening to the Lord. If there ever was a time that the church needed to hear from God, it's today. You know, we need to hear from him about what this time is all about, this season is all about. And we'll never do that unless we seek him with all of our heart and listen to him.
Yeah, and on this one, Chris, and I'm glad you're bringing that up and hearing from the Lord. I think that's a subject that a lot of people struggle with. I know I certainly used to struggle with understanding what did it mean to hear from God and in prayer when listening for his still small voice. So take us down that road right quick, because I think that's important for all of us to really wrestle with that reality of hearing from God.
Well, you know, I remember the great story of George Mueller, who founded orphanages and was a great man of prayer from history. And one of the things that happened in his life, first 10 years or so, he said he would always get up in the mornings and pray and seek the Lord through prayer. But he would oftentimes get very distracted in his life. And then after about 10 years or so, he began to switch that around, and he began to seek the Lord in his word first. And then he began to pray off of his word and out of his word. And he says he rarely got distracted after that. We're talking about a man that had probably had thousands of prayers answered in his journal. But he sought the Lord through his word. And I believe that's where we have to be as God's people. If we're going to hear from him, we must hear from him through his word as he speaks through his spirit and his word. And that's vital.
Yeah. Yeah, that's absolutely vital. And the way I always come at this, I've been to seminary a fair amount, and from a layman's perspective, I'm like, listen, if somebody's going to speak to me in Spanish and I want to understand what they're saying, I kind of have to know Spanish. So if you're going to hear from the Lord in your prayer, I know that God is speaking to me when I'm praying to him and listening for him, and then scripture starts coming to my head. Well, God's language in my life and in the life of most believers is his word, and his word is scripture, and scripture begins coming to my head. And I'm sitting there, I used to sit there, Chris, and think, well, am I just thinking about scripture? And I'm like, no, this is the Holy Spirit leading me into all truth. And that's God speaking to me by bringing his scripture, his very words to my mind. And that's why Bible study along with prayer is so important, because how can you hear from God if you don't know his language? Does that make sense?
Exactly. And his word should drive our praying, because it keeps us focused on him. It keeps us focused on his kingdom and his purposes. You know, we talked about this, but one of the things that you see in the life of the church is the church is oftentimes consumed with the church.
Right.
And we're consumed with what we're doing as a church or as a particular community of believers. But we must look beyond ourselves and see the kingdom perspective in this.
Right.
This day and this hour is requiring of God's people not only to pray toward the kingdom, but to look toward the kingdom and what God wants to do and what he's doing regarding his kingdom and marching his kingdom forward in our world.
Amen.
So important.
Well, when we come back, Chris, we're coming up on our last break, and then we'll have our last segment. When we come back with Chris Schofield, he's with the Southern Baptist Convention in North Carolina, and has designed this prayer guide, which you can get, prayfor30days.org, designed for the month of October. We'll talk about how you use this prayer guide, what are the resources that are in there, including some of the videos that you can watch online. This is Steve Noble. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio. Great to be with you talking about prayer today. And one of the things that I like about MediShare, which is a Christian medical cost sharing ministry that we're a part of, the Noble family, and have been for 5 years, is the opportunity to pray. I get emails, when we pay our share each month. And we get emails about other people, other Christians around the country, more than 250,000 Christians around the country. And you actually have an opportunity to pray for other Christians who are going through very serious medical situations. So that's part of MediShare, as well as the fact that we're sharing each other's major medical expenses. So if you have some major medical stuff going on, then you put that out, and that gets shared. Over $1 billion since MediShare has been around, which has been about 20 years now. Just an incredible ministry, and you can find out about it for yourself. 888-BIBLE-11, so just find MediShare, 888-BIBLE-11. They're now available in Montana. You can get that information for yourself. And so it's a great ministry to be a part of and a great blessing. So check out MediShare for yourself. I know you'll be blessed like we have. We've been talking to Chris Schofield, and he's with the North Carolina Southern Baptist Convention, and they've come up with a great prayer guide for the month of October. Prayfor30days.org is the website. Return to Me is the name of the prayer guide. It's based on Return to Me, and I Will Return to You, out of Zechariah chapter 1 and verse 3. This 30-day prayer guide that'll take you through the month of October, and really, really well done. So we'll dive into, and you can get your copy online. Just go to prayfor30days.org. Org. So we're going to talk to Chris now and find out, you know, how do we use this every day and what's the contents of this excellent prayer guide. I'm looking at a copy of it right here live from Southern California. But anyway, Chris, again, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Steve.
You're very welcome. So let's go through kind of what is in the prayer guide and what happens each day as we go through it.
You have a devotion, the devotionals are broken down into five different sections. The first deals with God's word, his time, and his people. The second is about God's anger being kindled. What does it look like when God is angry with his people? There's no rest and no favor and no fruit. The third section deals with a call to repentance in people's lives and in the life of the church. The fourth is dealing with God's promise to restore and refresh. When we return to him and we repent of our sin, he restores us through his forgiveness and his great refreshing that comes from his manifest presence that's renewed in our hearts and our lives. And then finally, his resolve and his future hope. That is one of the things that is in this great text is God has given us a future hope. As we seek him, we return to him, he gives us that great hope of his restoration and his refreshing. And so there is great hope. The great hope today, of course, is Jesus. And, of course, the great hope in revival and spiritual awakening for our nation is that the spiritual famine can be eradicated. And we as his people need to seek him for that. Steve, this devotional is also tied in with a 30-day emphasis in October. You can receive a text by texting 313131. You text the words pray 30 days, and you can receive a daily text that will prompt you to pray for revival and spiritual awakening. In November the 5th, we are encouraging churches to set aside 10 minutes in their worship service and seek the Lord for revival and spiritual awakening. And all this kind of culminates on November the 7th at 6:30 p.m. in our annual meeting when we're having a call to prayer for North Carolina Baptist. We're seeking the Lord together, and that prayer session is called Broken Before the Throne, and it's centered around Acts 3:19. Yeah. Repent and return that your sins may be blotted out in order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. So it's working together toward a time to gather as God's people here in North Carolina to seek him for revival and spiritual awakening.
Well, that's so awesome that you guys have that text capability because, I get a daily email, Chris, from Jim Young, who's a great Christian man who runs Capital Commission, that reminds me to pray for those in authority over us. That's pray1tim2.org. And then other text messaging, that's kind of a normal part of our lives now, regardless of what age you are. And to know that, that's so helpful. That little prompt, I think we're all struggling to kind of cut through all the noise and there's all the busyness and social media and emails and everything. And to get that daily text is awesome. So that, friends, I just shared it on Facebook as well. If you text the word, just pray 30 days all together, okay? Pray 30 days. Just like do it like one word. Pray 30 days. 2-313-131. So that just means instead of texting your wife or your husband or your son or your daughter or your friend, instead of their name in the two box, you put in that number. You just 313131, and then in the message, the text message, you just put the word pray 30 days. Just do that. Pray 30 days to 313131, and then you'll get a daily reminder, which I'll do that as soon as we get off the air, Chris. And then also you can get the prayer guide for yourself with the devotional and everything. Prayfor30days.org is the website there. So each day, Chris, as we kind of open it up and look at it, and I've got my copy right in front of me, how do we kind of go through what happens on a daily basis in the prayer guide?
Well, it begins with the scripture text, and I encourage people to take the time to read that passage of scripture, to meditate upon that passage of scripture. And then it has a devotional thought, a historical story, a story from my own personal experience, but a story that relates to the truth, the one truth of that particular passage of scripture. And then it has two prayer prompts at the end where you are prompted to pray toward personal revival and corporate revival, praying for yourself, praying for your church and your community at large. So I do encourage people to take the time to take action. We also have at the beginning of each section a little video clip that kind of introduces the section, and you'll be prompted and can be prompted by looking at those as you work your way through the devotional.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that because I noticed that at the bottom of each devotional, each daily devotional and the prayer prompts and everything, is that you've got the little the coordinating videos. So what are those videos like and how long are they, Chris?
Oh, they're very brief. They're like probably a minute each. And so it's just very brief, just introducing the section that you'll be studying for that period of time. You know, the sections are not evenly divided. One of them has, I think, 10 devotions. One of them has 4. In fact, I do finish up the devotional with an emphasis on the 4 major movements of God in American history, when God has sent revival and awakening to our nation to transform the spiritual famine in the land. And, of course, unfortunately, you know, the last major pervasive movement was 1901 to 1910. We've seen a couple of volcanic spiritual eruptions like the Jesus movement or
right.
mid-century movement. But you know, they were not pervasive in, as these first 4. So, you know, and I try to encourage the people, say, God can do this again. We can see the spiritual famine and the lostness impacted
right.
Again.
Yeah, and I think that's something I struggle with this, Chris, and I imagine you do as well. Where it's so easy to kind of throw our hands up and go, well, you know, America's gone to hell in a handbasket, and our best days are behind us, and the country's too cold, and to the gospel, and it's just too lost, and there's just too much secularism, and the country is becoming increasingly more secular. But it was sometime in the last year or two, Chris, that somebody challenged me on that notion, and they said, hey, Steve, instead of assuming that America is post-Christian, which obviously it looks like it is, why don't you remember that there are perhaps millions of people in America that aren't post-Christian, they're pre-Christian? And I was like, holy cow, did I need that correction?
Yeah, that's a great word. And, here's the reality of it. You know, God is a God who can do exceedingly abundantly above all we can think or ask. You know, I've been serving our denomination for 20 years in prayer, and one thing is for certain that I have seen all across North America and also here in North Carolina, and that is almost everywhere I go in the last few years, someone will come up to me, Steve, and they'll say, you know, 5 years ago, 2 years ago, 6 months ago, 20 years ago, God got a hold of my heart and prompted me to begin praying for revival and spiritual awakening. And I'm going to continue to do that until the day I die or until Amen. The day I see God bring spiritual awakening. So God is raising up his people. He's calling his people to seek him for what only he can do in our land. And there is hope that that can happen.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't happen in my generation, then so be it. But we can invest in the generations to come, see, by seeking the Lord for what he can do. You know, there's a great text, Psalm 90. It says, reveal your work to your servants and your majesty to their children.
Wow.
I believe God wants to do great and wondrous things to the next generation.
Amen.
But this generation's got to return to him. And God
is right.
And holiness.
That's right. And I would remind everybody, you know, listen, I'm a father. We have 4 kids. And I would remind everybody that's, roughly our age, or if you have children, if you won't pray, if revival in our own generation is impossible, will you pray for it in our kids' generation? Would you want to see it in our kids' generation? Would you want them to experience another great awakening, another Jesus movement? And I think the answer for all of us, of course, is yes. And that's why we need to be praying for this. And the help that we get from Chris and the folks at the Southern Baptist Convention in North Carolina is a great blessing. PrayFor30Days.org is the website. PrayFor30Days.org. Chris Schofield, thanks, brother. It's always great having you on.
Thank you, Steve. Blessings to you.
Amen. You too as well. Friends, I'll be on the road tomorrow, back in the saddle on Thursday. And again, on the text side, just pray 30 days. Just text that little message to 313131. and you'll get a prompt every day in October. We need to pray for revival, if not for ourselves. Let's do